Each weekday, a member of the community is invited to coffee at KYUK to discuss news and information relevant to Bethel and the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. Coffee at KYUK is where our community connects.
Hola, waka chukma, all across the tundra. I'm also shouting out to the Yukon and the coast. Grady Deaton here, coffee at KYUK. As usual, excited, and as usual, sharing my excitement with you. The Mulchatna caribou herd numbers, they've been declining for a while now, and it appears the animals have a disease that may make it harder for their numbers to bounce back. This morning, joining us for coffee at KYUK, News Director Anna Rose MacArthur and State Fish and Game Wildlife Veterinarian Dr. Kimberly Beckman talk about brucellosis.
The genus Brucella has been known for a very, very long time. There's many different species and subtypes of it that are different hosts, and there's one that's normally in people, and it's called Bang's disease or undulant fever, and it's also been called Malta fever because it was originally discovered in Malta, and that's the human one. And then there's one that's in cattle that's called Brucella abortus, and people are susceptible to that, and it used to be transmitted typically in raw milk. It's been nearly eliminated in the United States through pasteurization of milk. The only one of these bacteria in this group, Brucella, that's in Alaska is the caribou reindeer one.
And tell me about how this bacteria was found in the Mulchatna caribou herd.
Our biologists were out doing their routine surveillance, and they noticed some caribou with the swollen carpus, which is typical of this infection in caribou. It causes a big swelling on the front knee. And also, while they were out in the helicopter, one of the biologists noticed a male caribou, a bull caribou, with a swollen scrotum, which is also another sign. He took a picture of that. And with the concern about the decline and lack of recovery in the Mulchatna herd, they hired a biologist to do a health assessment of adult females to see if that was a problem with them. And in the course of that, I recommended to her that we look for Brucella because that could have an impact on reproduction and the health of this herd. So when the biologist collected blood samples during radio collaring last October, we tested those serum samples for Brucella antibodies and found that over a third of the adult female caribou that she had radio collared had antibodies against this bacteria. And that indicated that there had been an outbreak, because normally only 1 to 5% of the caribou have antibodies against this bacteria.
And how is this bacteria transmitted?
It's mainly transmitted during a time in the spring when an infected caribou or reindeer loses the calf, and those aborted tissues, the placenta and the fetus and the membranes around it, are full of the bacteria. And when there's a dead animal on the tundra, other caribou are interested and will come over and sniff it and lick it, and that's how they ingest the bacteria and become infected themselves. It can also be spread venereally by the bulls in the fall when they breed the cows. If they're infected, then it's transmitted to the cow sexually.
What other impacts does it have on the caribou?
It causes lameness because it infects the joints, and you see that swelling on the front leg, and that might make them more susceptible to being preyed upon because they're not as able to escape predators. It causes a fever and can cause these particular swellings or abscesses in other parts of the body, especially in the mammary gland, so it can be spread through the milk from a cow to a calf if the calf had survived. So it's mainly the gross lesions that people will see is that swelling on the knee or the swollen scrotum because the testicles have been infected.
And I did see a picture of the swollen knees with this bacteria. It's so distorted. I mean, it looks cartoonish how big that it's gotten.
We've seen ones that are even larger. And it's very distinct because it's not the usual pussy thing that we see in caribou or moose where they have this greenish, yellow, thick pudding-like thing in there. This is part of the bursa, which is a capsule that's overlying the joint that's part of the lubrication of a joint to have it move. And it's interesting that it's so specific to the front leg, although it can affect the back leg, but it's just so typical for the front leg, and it's a very distinct swelling that is not just under the skin, it's in within this capsule. And the fluid is very thin and what we call straw-colored, so it's not the typical pus that an abscess would be, and very well what we call demarcated, very sharp, very distinct.
Does this swelling on the front knees of the caribou grow so big that the caribou aren't able to walk at all?
It can make them severely lame. I don't know about whether they couldn't walk at all. If they're not walking at all, then they'd be able to be captured by a predator very quickly. And it would make it hard for them to migrate and forage well, so they might die of starvation if they're that lame. I've never seen one that had ruptured. So the typical abscess that a caribou would get from a wound or something, that comes to the surface, it's like a boil, and it'll rupture and drain, and then the animal recovers. These don't ever seem to rupture because they're under a really strong fibrous capsule. It's not just under the skin, so they just get bigger and bigger and bigger. If the animal dies or is killed by a predator, such as a wolf, the wolf can get the bacteria into its body through feeding on it, and also that contamination of the environment from the fluid from that joint. What's a problem with this bacteria is it's very environmentally resistant to freezing. So if it's frozen in the carcass, then it's infective for years. And even just under moist, cool condition, it can be infective for months. So there's a concern about the environmental contamination because another caribou coming along years later and foraging in that area could then become infected by eating the contaminated lichen.
Oh, wow. This sounds like kind of a nightmarish bacteria.
Yep.
Is this bacteria found in other caribou herds in Alaska?
Yes. It's most typically we detect it in the Western Arctic herd and the Teshupuk herd, also in the Central Arctic and porcupines, and the biggest outbreak that the department detected was actually back in the late 60s in the Western Arctic herd, where that's a time when that herd, 40% of the animals had antibodies, and they were having severe numbers of abortions and problems in that population. So that's the last outbreak of this bacteria that we detected, so late 60s. Since then, it's just been at a very, very low level of transmission in the Western Arctic and the Teshupuk and potentially the Central Arctic. It's also been in the Nelchina herd, again, the same time frame, the middle 50s, 60s. It's probably in most of the herds at a very, very low level that we just can't detect it. What's different here with the Mulchatna is even if the bacteria has been there, it's been at such a low level and the degree of sampling, we just didn't detect it because it wasn't affecting the population. So until a large number of animals had antibodies and started showing the gross lesions of the swollen knees and testicles, that we detected it.
The Mulchatna caribou herd outbreak of this bacteria is the first outbreak that's been documented since the 1960s in Alaska?
Yes.
Wow.
It can go unrecognized. If there's a lot of abortions, they're going to occur about a month or two prior to when biologists are normally out there looking for dead calves or, you know, monitoring the animals for pregnancy and birth rates. So it is possible there were other outbreaks that we did not recognize because of the timing where they were and that they were not being observed.
And what month of the year are biologists usually doing those aerial surveys to be able to count and estimate how many caribou are in the herd and then what's the calving situation?
They go out in April, May, and June. Typically, they go out in April to put radio collars on the calves that are now 10 months old.
And these miscarriages would usually happen a couple months before that then?
Yeah, you know, probably late February, early March. And it only happens to a caribou or a reindeer on the first calf that they have after being infected. If they develop a uterine infection or have a retained placenta or something like that, it may lower their ability to get pregnant again. If they do have a calf, if they don't abort, then many of the calves will be weak or die shortly after birth, and that's harder to diagnose because it's difficult to get those animals to test them because the predators and scavengers get to the carcasses before we're able to sample them. So some of the animals may become infertile and not have calves the next year, but if they do recover from it and develop some antibodies, then they may have surviving calves in subsequent years. And another thing that happens is the placenta is retained so that they have impacts on their future reproduction if their uterus is damaged by the bacteria.
Can the bulls also become infertile after this infection?
Oh, yes, yes, because it causes a lot of inflammation within the testicle, so it can destroy the testicle.
The Mulchatna caribou herd has had a very big decline over the recent years. Last summer in 2020, biologists estimated through aerial surveys that there were about 13,500 caribou. And 5 years ago in 2016, biologists estimated that the herd was twice that size at 27,000 caribou. Is this bacteria the reason why the caribou herd has taken such a plunge?
It's probably not the primary reason, but there's some factor that caused the herd to be susceptible to having an outbreak. So there's some stressor, whether it be environmental or some way that they've changed their calving grounds or their migration, or there's a higher concentration of animals in the area where abortions were occurring that increased transmission, something that's suppressing their immune system so they're less resistant to the bacteria. So something has happened that caused this outbreak. So it may be the same factor that caused the population decline, or it may be one of the things that has contributed to that. So we don't know if it's directly a cause, but indirectly it's highly likely to be contributing. But whether it was the initiating cause, we'll never know that.
What could be examples of what those stressors could be that could be contributing to this outbreak and reducing the caribou's immunity, making them more susceptible to this bacteria?
Well, one example is the changing climate. So, for example, when the weather warms, and what's going on right now is increasing the life cycle of a stomach worm that affects caribou. It's called ostertagia. And research in Canada has shown that instead of taking 2 years to complete the life cycle, this parasite actually can go through two life cycles in 1 year. And this particular parasite affects the stomach so that the caribou have a higher pH in their stomach, so they don't absorb nutrition as well, and they don't absorb copper as well, and they become copper deficient. And that copper deficiency makes them more susceptible to other infections and stresses their immune system, reduces their immunity. So something like that can cause them to be more susceptible because they've got this higher parasite load and decreased copper. Absorption of a trace mineral that is critical for the life of the caribou, such as copper, is also affected by rainfall and soil pH, whether they can absorb the nutrients. So things like changes in rainfall or soil pH where the animals are foraging during a critical period in their growth and reproductive cycle could make them more susceptible to disease.
Has there been research done on the Mulchatna caribou herd to see if any of those factors are playing a part in its decline?
Well, they're looking at that now. In the past, back in 2006-2007, we did a health assessment to look at the Mulchatna during a previous period of decline, and at the same time we were looking at the Northern Alaska Peninsula to see what their health was, because that population was declining, and it looked like in that northern Alaska Peninsula population, that stomach worm, ostertagia, was a big factor, but predation was the overwhelming factor. And in the Mulchatna herd, we did find that they had some fairly high parasite loads, low copper and selenium, as compared to the Western Arctic herd, which was doing very, very well at that time. So 2007 was the last time we had a really good handle on doing a health assessment in the Mulchatna. So it is time to do another one. In the current project, they're going to be looking at a bunch of different health indices that we have previously looked at in this herd, and also compared to other caribou herds that are doing well or not doing well, so that we can try to see what factors may be involved in the health of this herd.
How can people who hunt this herd be able to protect themselves from this bacteria?
Well, the first thing is, if you see a abnormal caribou, like one with a swollen knee, that's not the one to harvest. You'd want to report that to Fish and Game, but harvest a different animal. And then when butchering, wear gloves and don't cut into anything that looks abnormally swollen. Just carve wide around that. And then afterwards, make sure you wash your hands and all your knives and things with hot soapy water. Make sure they're all clean. And then when preparing the food, make sure that it's cooked to at least 160 degrees, because that'll kill the bacteria, and not eat it raw.
What are the symptoms of this bacteria in a human?
Most people would just have a flu-like symptoms and then recover from it, but some people would get very ill, chronically ill, having this fever that comes and goes. And it requires a long course of some pretty strong antibiotics that can knock it out. It's really rarely fatal in people, and that's only if a person didn't get diagnosed, didn't get treated, and that's less than 2% of the cases, but it would affect the heart.
Do you ever eat caribou?
I love to eat caribou. That's like my favorite, yes. I cook it to make sure that anything in there is, and Brucella is not the only thing that's in our caribou. There are other parasites that you can't see. They're at low levels. The number one thing is cleaning, washing your hands, and cooking the meat.
Well, Dr. Beckman, this has been a fascinating conversation. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome.
That was Fish and Game veterinarian Dr. Kimberly Beckman talking with KYUK's news director Anna Rose MacArthur. Leaving me just one thing left to say for listeners, and that's, don't forget to be awesome to each other.